I spy with my little eye something beginning with hey.
Very good, Mr. Brown, but you'll have to go a bit quicker than that, or this eye test is going to take all day. And it's back to the Crucible in Sheffield, Al, for more news on the snooker.
And you join us just as Steve Davis is in a bit of a quandary. He doesn't know whether to take the pink or the black.
And he's the only colour knickers you've got, love.
Yes, an unmistakable vintage, a brilliantly dependable taste, a spectacularly unique flavor, such body, such aroma, such palate-pleasing character. Was there ever a more memorable example of the fruits of nature captured in an essence of exotic delight?
I don't know, pal. As far as I'm concerned, when you've tasted one bottle of brown sauce, you've tasted it all.
Well, I'm sexy. I think you should know. You're not sure how sexy it is, because this is a radio show. Where's the drum movies?
I'd like to do another one of these poems. Thank you. All the fellas round our way have tried to win my hand, but I'm a bit too fussy, and I like it to be planned. I've only ever said yes twice, and both times I was canned. Once was with Ernie Pimlop, and the other the Village Brass Band.
There's the three of us, doing the job, taking the knocks on the chin. Yes, the three of us, Ray, Mo and Rob,
Graham,
Maurice and Robin.
Welcome to Fort Zamenhof. You're now in the French Foreign Legion. And now you are all men with dubious pasts, rogues, vagabonds, criminals. Some of you may even be murderers. Well, here in the Legion, you are all equal. You will endure rigorous training. Eventually, some of you may consider desertion. I warn you, for hundreds of miles around the fort, there is only burning sand. Should you be foolish enough to attempt a crossing in this searing heat, you will surely die from dehydration. You will, however, be allowed to write one letter a year at the time of your choosing. Enjoy yourself.
Do you know, Alice, I think we should write a letter of complaint to Sagar Holliday.
I'm really looking forward to this week's show.
Why is that, Uncle Rubbish?
Because of the special guest we've got coming.
Who is it? Do we know him?
Yes, is he famous? Because we like meeting famous people, don't we, Geoffrey?
We do, Ernest. The more famous, the better, right?
Yeah.
The man is world famous. Just listen what it says about him in the Ouzo of the theatre. He was born in 1942 and began his career as a boy soprano. He made his debut on the West End stage in 1965 and has made numerous films, but he's best known for his fantastic comedy series on television in the 1970s. Since then, he has become the biggest box office attraction in the world, currently starring in America.
Brilliant. And who is it?
Well, that were Michael Crawford. We've got Bill Pertwee. Mr. Pertwee, what a thrill and an honour to meet you in the flesh.
And may I say the same, Uncle Rubbish. For so many years now, I've harboured in my heart a longing to make the acquaintance of your good self. A man, if I may say so, respected the world over for good humour, good conversation, and good manners.
What a lovely man. Isn't he a lovely man, Geoffrey?
He is a lovely man. A lovely, lovely man.
Ooh, what is he?
A lovely man.
He is
a lovely man.
Mm-hmm. And you, of course, are Ernest and Geoffrey.
Oh, he knows our name, Geoffrey. He knows our name.
Oh, he does. He knows our name.
Words seem quite inadequate at a time like this. Suffice to say that a lifelong ambition has now been realized, as I shake the hands of two deeply sensitive human beings.
Oh, I think I'm having one of my flushes. Oh,
have one for me.
What a nice man.
And this, Mr. Pertwee, is Uncle Nasty.
I couldn't care less if I never set eyes on you again in my life. You vile, ignorant, pig-headed, moronic, stupid, fatuous, illiterate, evil, vicious, despicable, cadaverous, depraved, repugnant prat.
What a nice man. What a lovely, lovely, nice man. Oh, Mr. Pertwee.
Please, call me Bill.
Oh, thank you. Bill, I've had the most wonderful idea for you to do something at the end of the show.
I'd be delighted, Uncle Rubbish. Is it all right if I dash off and come back later? You see, I've arranged to meet a friend at the Royal Albert Hall. We're seeing our favourite pianist.
Oh, really? I love a good concert.
Oh, so I'll see you later. Which way is the Albert Hall?
Through that door.
Thank you. A pianist with a rare and unique talent.
One of the finest we've ever produced.
Having a musical background has been a great help to him.
Indeed.
His mother's on the harp.
I didn't know that.
6 pints a night.
You do surprise me.
His sister is in light opera.
So I've heard.
Have you seen her Nanky Poo?
I'm not at all sure that I want to.
I do so admire his rubato.
Well, I can't see it. The piano lives in the way. I'm told that he spent 6 months in the conservatoire.
He's looking much better now.
He's a brilliant academic.
So I believe.
He's got a B.A.
I can't see it. The piano lives in the way.
His younger brother is a marine biologist.
Interesting.
He's got a tiddler.
You know him better than I do.
He keeps it in a jar at the side of the bed.
I don't think I'd be able to sleep.
His sister goes out every night dressed as a woman.
I've read about that sort of thing in the Sunday newspapers.
He really is a brilliant pianist.
Breathtaking.
He's so very much at home with the old masters.
Mozart and Liszt.
When?
Last week at the Festival Hall.
I can't listen to him after what you just told me. I really must leave.
I'll come with you.
Where's my handbag?
Under the seat next to mine. We'll be right back.
Hello, culture lovers everywhere, and welcome to another edition of Music for the Masses from me, Ernest.
And me, Jeffrey.
And may I say, Jeffrey, right from the off, how much I like your Dickie Bone.
Oh, I'm glad it's like to turn in.
Gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous.
It lights up in the dark.
It does. What will they think of next?
I've got these two wires running down the inside of my thermal vest. And through a hole in my trouser pocket to a battery.
You can't tell. You just can't tell.
Mind you, Ernest had a nasty accident when I first tried it on.
No, how do you mean?
I plugged it into the mains.
No.
Yes.
Oh, what happened?
My underpants let off.
Jeffrey, you must have been nagging it.
Actually, I quite like it.
Hey, listen, come here. I haven't told you my news, have I, Jeffrey?
What news is this, then?
I've started going for karate lessons.
You haven't?
I have.
Ooh, what he was teaching you?
Oh, he's brilliant, he's brilliant.
Does he have a black belt?
No, but he's a pale blue corset, yes.
And is he strong?
Strong. You've never seen muscles like it.
How are you getting on, then?
I don't know. I spend most of my time unconscious.
So, you're not going to be a first dan?
I'm more likely to be a right child.
Yeah. Have you tried smashing the pile of bricks with your head?
Oh, yes, I have. Yeah.
What happened?
Split my head open. Anyway, I'm on this special diet to build up my stamina now.
Stamina? You're building up, are you? What is it? What's the diet?
Seaweed.
What?
Seaweed. Nothing but seaweed. Morning, noon and night. Seaweed.
Fancy.
Only problem is, if we get 2 days of fine weather, I curl up at the edge.
Oh, anyway, let's get on with the programme.
Oh, I forgot all about it. Yes. Who's the guest this week, Jeffrey?
You'll never guess.
Who is it, then?
It's that old rat face.
No, I don't believe it.
Yes, yeah, did you know?
What?
He used to be a tramp.
A tramp, he didn't.
He did. He's going to sing a song about the days when he used to sleep rough.
Oh, I'll introduce him.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present Rat Face.
I've got a bed. It has no sheets or pillow. It's where I lay my head, beneath the weeping willow. I fit that bed, and it fits me, just like a pot with one big pea. If you'll forgive the simile, that's my old bed. I've got no money, and I've got no wealth, but when I go to sleep, I'm rich. There ain't a mattress in the town so tip, and a swap for me dear old dish. There ain't a mattress in the town so tip, and a swap for me dear old dish. Until I'm dead, life may improve or worsen, at least I've got a bed. That's molded to my person. I share that bed with bird and bee, and mouse and mitch and fox and flea, and sometimes cows dropping on me in my old bed. Folks sometimes tell me I should go to town, but I know I could never switch. There ain't a pavement and a cardboard box and a swap for me dear old bitch. There ain't a pavement and a cardboard box and a swap for me dear old
Why don't we have a competition to see who can cut the toenails the quickest?
Hang on, I'll put the lid on the marmalade.
If it's all the same to you, old gaffer, I'd rather read the newspaper.
Newspaper? It's all garbage what they print in newspaper these days.
It says in this newspaper that vets have come up with a new idea. Pregnancy testing for elephants.
That sounds like a good idea.
Not really. It says it takes 12 men to carry the bottle.
Why don't we have a competition to see who can put the toenails as quickest?
It says in this newspaper that during the heat wave, a man in Preston accidentally drank half a bottle of bleach.
Oh, that's nasty, that. How is he?
A hospital spokesman said that he's fair.
Why don't we have a competition to see who can cut the toenails the quickest?
It should be done away with.
What, bleach?
No, Preston.
I like Preston. I once had a sweetheart who came from Preston. She worked at the Winkle stall on the Golden Mile at Blackpool.
Did you check her out?
Every night with a pin. She had a funny name.
What was it?
Ooh!
Well, that is a funny name, isn't it, Geoffrey?
It is, Ernest.
My sister named her new baby after my great-granddad.
Well, that's nice, isn't it?
When the baby grows up, it won't be very pleased.
Why not?
How many girls do you know called great-granddad?
It would have to be very big.
What would have to be very big?
The bottle that they use for the pregnancy testing for elephants.
It's like selling off a 60s nearly with a blancmange.
Why don't we have a competition to see if we can put the toenail quickest?
If I hear that one more time, I'll chuck myself in the flipping canal.
Why don't we have a competition to see if we can put the toenail the quickest?
Downstairs in the attic.
What on earth? It's an onion plant pot.
Ooh, do you think so?
Yes, Johnny, up by these straps and you put your plants in this metal bit.
Well, who'd have thought?
That's my genomic from the war. I was an air raid warden.
Oh, I bet that was a dangerous job.
It wasn't the air raids that bothered me, it was the chief air raid warden. Poor. He was a proper tyrant, he was. You know, I'll never forget him as long as I live.
Right, you lot, gather round. Come on, move it, move it. Now, I'm the chief air raid warden.
Excuse me, Mr. Chief. Can I be an air raid warden?
You? You an air raid warden? Don't make me laugh. You're far too young. There's going to be heavy bombing, and I think that you should be evacuated.
Where to?
Berlin. What a witty warden. Now, let's see what you know about air raid wardening. What would you do if an incendiary bomb fell on a house?
Which house?
It doesn't matter which house, lad.
Number 27?
If you like. What would you do if an incendiary bomb fell on number 27?
I'd laugh.
Laugh?
Yeah, I can't stand the sight of him at number 27.
Oh, blimey, I'd be better off with a bunch of brownies. Now, pay attention. As well as carrying out your duties as air raid wardens, you must at all times watch out for any strangers.
What for?
Because a stranger might be a German.
Here?
The crafty blighters are all over the place.
Oh, there's somebody coming now, look.
Hey, Ernest, I've never seen him before.
No.
He's a German.
He's never no German.
I tell you, he's a German.
He is definitely German, isn't he?
Look, I've got a lot more experience than you, lad. I'll prove to you that he is not a German. Hey, mate, where do you think you're going?
What's this thing? Out the forest area? Out the news about the prodigy? Where did you be that?
I thought so.
What do you mean?
He's Welsh.
Oh. What's this for?
That's a football rattle. When you hear... that means there's a gas attack. If ever you hear that rattle, you must remember that you are wardens and you must stay calm and show no fear. Otherwise, the public will panic. Now, the other thing that I... that's odd. Very odd. And... that's gas!
It's gas! It's a gas attack! The rattle! The rattle! Gas attack, everyone! Gas attack!
It's not a gas attack!
Gas attack! Gas!
It's not?
It was my little doggy.
Will you get that please hostel out of here? Somebody might easily have panicked.
Somebody did, pal.
I'll take his name later. I've no time for cowards.
Siren! There's an air raid on!
We're gonna be bombed! We're gonna be bombed! Everyone outside,
go on!
Get outside! Gonna be bombed! I'll be with you in a minute.
What are you doing?
Make it out a report.
Oh, let's have a look.
Get up.
Oh, it's a letter.
What's it written?
It says, Dear Mr. Hitler, I'm on your side. I was only pretending. Best wishes and a Merry Christmas.
That's a decoy. Make them think I'm on their side, and then I'd catch them. Just leave it, and I'd get out. We got a job to do.
Just look at that moon.
Perfect night for a bombing raid. Hard to see the aeroplane! It's an aeroplane!
It's only a bird.
It's a plane!
It's a bird!
It's a plane!
Ooh! That's only what a bird.
Just look at that bedroom light, full on.
Don't they know there's an air raid?
Here, I can see a sailor. Put that light out.
Shouldn't I have said that? Leave the lad in peace. It's probably his first time home for months.
Well, I call that very understanding.
So do I, Ernie. Mm-hmm. Very, very understanding.
Look, there is a war on and you're only young once.
Oh, hello.
What is it, lad?
That big metal thing lying at the bottom of that hole. It looks like an unexploded bomb.
An unexploded bomb? It's an unexploded bomb!
Are you sure?
Look, I'm going to investigate. Yes, I'm right! It's an unexploded bomb!
Was an unexploded bomb.
Underneath it all, he was a nice man.
He was, Ernest. He was a nice man, but then again, a fool.
How do you mean, a fool, Geoffrey?
That lighted bedroom window and the sailor.
What about it?
It was his house.
We'll see you next time.
Yes, we'll see you again.
So, tinkety-tow, bye for all.
Let's goodbye and TTFN.
From the three of us, just the three of us. There's me,
and me,
and him.
Thank you, that's one so good. It's just a damn my nose, you see.
My name is Bill Pertwee. That was me you heard just now. As a star of stage, the silver screen, radio and wireless, I thought that those of you who require any after-dinner speeches, well, I'm available. I do humorous anecdotes, farmyard impressions, and by the way, I only work for Reddy's, so if you...
Get off!
Worth a try.
It's a rotten show anyway!
Get lost!
It's a rotten audience as well! I've gone outside now and stacked all their cars!
Go away!
I'm going, mate!
That wasn't very nice of him to say all those nasty things.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to complain right now to the head of the BBC. Would you put me through to the head of the BBC, please?
Head of the BBC speaking?
It's about a man we've just had on our show, Bill Pertwee.
Oh, this is Basil Pertwee speaking. I'm his father.
Well, I just wanted to say he's a very, very nice man. And while I'm on, can he come back and do the credits if he likes?
I'm very proud of him. I'll give him your message. Goodbye.
Bye.
I understand you've been speaking to Father. You have been listening to Someone and the Grumbleweeds. Graham, Morris and Robin with the Grumbleweeds and I, Bill Pertwee, star of stage, the silver screen, radio, wireless and air raid shelters.
Get on with it.
With Someone. Music was provided by Dave Pollitt, Perry Duke and Andy Marples, with lyrics by Jeremy Brown. The script was by Eddie Braben, Ron McDonald, John Brown, Richard Jones, and the producer, Mike Craig. What a nice man.